Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. As I say, 251-343-0106. Text line. That's the best way to get in touch with the program if you want to respond to anything you're hearing this morning. Also, coming up on the program from the Trussell Tribune, show regular Scott Buttram will be with us. So please make sure you stay tuned for that. Joining us now on the line, always a pleasure to bring on my next guest. It's a very important story. I guess I just kind of caught up on it a little bit in his Sunday morning brunch newsletter yesterday. But Rob Hulbert of Land Yap joins us. Rob, good morning. How are you?
Good, man. How are you doing today?
Staying out of trouble, which is, I guess, always a good
That's
thing.
That's not what you're supposed to do in this business, right?
Well, I've learned some hard lessons over my long and storied career, Rob, as you well know. So, you know, you got to keep it between the lines sometimes.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
So, Rob, and this didn't get a lot of pickup anywhere else, but and I read it as kind of my wife, she is licensed in Alabama. She has a bar card for Alabama. And they send her the Alabama Bar magazine every week, and I flip through it, and this is the first I'd really heard of this. You got a story up, and I gave it a read, but I'm a little amazed that the guy that heads up the executive director of the Alabama Bar kind of played fast and loose with some of the rules. Got in trouble with for violating ethics laws. Paid a fine, and then you point out the Attorney General's office did not go after the bar or anything here. But walk us through this, because some of my listeners probably not familiar with this story. What had happened here, and this is, I think, really important, because this is the agency that oversees and kind of regulates lawyers in this state.
Yeah, so it's a state agency. The state bar is, it's kind of a, you know, we think of the Bar Association, but there's a state bar that is a state agency that handles the licensing and, you know, any kind of professional conduct issues, that kind of thing. And they have an executive director. They also have a board that oversees that executive, and they choose him. So these are state employees, though. A guy named Philip McCallum, he was the executive director, believe he started in late 2018 or 2019. He left office in October of 2020, right before he was convicted of 17 violations of state ethics law. So he got nailed on that. 17, which is a huge number. I've been told it's the biggest. I don't know that. I can't verify that yet, but that it's the most anybody's ever had, but it's a huge number. He was fined $100,000, more than $100,000, which he paid. But you know, the situation, it happened very, it was very quietly done. He kind of slid under radar. Nobody covered it. The only article I could find at all was 5 months after that. One of the TV stations in Montgomery did a very short story just saying that he had paid over $100,000 in fines, and that was about it. And so, you know, everybody missed it. Nobody, I mean, it was handled very quietly. I'm not saying that it wasn't there in public records. It was, but you just, you know, apparently if people knew about it, they didn't write about it. And a lot of us didn't know about it. So somebody called me a few weeks ago and said, hey, are you aware of some of this going on? And the latest, so in May, the Examiners of Public Accounts came out with a report pretty much hammering the state bar for making a bunch of unauthorized payments, unauthorized basically non-disclosure agreements with employees, and spending more money per hour than the law allows, on attorneys, all this kind of stuff. But so they had numerous violations that, according to the to this report, which just came out in May. But that report, much like the Ethics Commission report, it doesn't really name, it doesn't explain what any of the violations. It doesn't explain what they are. The examiner's report doesn't mention any names. It just says employee one, employee two, and employee three. But you know, matching things up, and they've admitted at this point that it was McCallum. They paid him after he left, for a couple of months after he left, continued his salary, continued paying his perks, his YMCA membership, his, insurance, et cetera. And then about 10 months after he left, they paid him almost $40,000 for something they still won't tell us what it is. But it's kind of amazing. There's a lot of things that are pretty amazing about this. Number one, when the Ethics Commission, when they find people in violation, they send them over to the Attorney General's office to see if the Attorney General's office wants to prosecute. They want to go after them. You've got the head of the Bar Association, the State Bar, the director of the State Bar, committing 17, being found guilty of 17 violations. And the Attorney General's office says, nah, we're good with it. It's all good. Just send it back there. So they gave him an administrative resolution, which was essentially the fines, which is, they were large fines, but still, the bar didn't do anything to him. He didn't get disbarred. He didn't get punished by the bar, as far as we could tell. And now the bar won't speak about it. I asked them weeks ago to give me a comment on this. They said they would, and then they just clammed up. So, you have all these attorneys, theoretically, they know the law, running the program over there, and they don't want to talk about what's going on. In the meantime, a former employee filed a lawsuit against the bar and McCallum. Basically, so she kind of shed some light on some things that were going on there. A lot of it is him treating her like a personal servant, as she wrote in the lawsuit, sending her out to get his laundry, doing things like that, personal things that it's a no-no for state agencies. You can't treat a state agency like you can treat your private law firm. So you've got a state employee that was sent to do personal things for this, for the director, is what she's alleging. But also, one of the things that was brought up in her lawsuit that was pretty interesting was that there was something called a 2-year bump going on at the state bar. And what they were doing is jacking up people's, their salaries the last 2 years of their cycle, of their career before they retired, which in turn would increase their retirement from RSA and artificially, what they call that spiking is what it's called. And RSA says if that kind of thing was going on, that would not have been allowable. So on top of that, you've got this group of attorneys doing that and violating the RSA's rules. So it's really pretty interesting, at least to us it is, but it's not interesting to anybody else in the state, apparently.
Well, that's what had me kind of scratching my head, because it seems like a big story. And look, I kind of been in election mode and whatever else is going on in the world, but there are other outlets that cover this stuff. And I don't know. It's just like there seems to be a log jam in the whole like communications. I mean, it could very well be intentional. The bad news, they want to kind of sweep it under the rug. But this seems like, and this isn't the only instance, Rob, and you're aware of this.
No.
But yeah. Stuff like this in this state, when it seems like the public, if it were made out to be anything else, that the public would have some kind of buy-in here, be upset about it. But it's either like incompetence or an oversight, or that there really is a concerted effort to keep these types of stories on the down low.
Jeff, all I can tell you is, one of your favorites, somebody at AL.com contacted me after I wrote the story and said, man, that's a great story. I tried to get that story some time ago, but couldn't get it. And that's been, you know, that's 2 weeks ago. Nobody's written the story yet. And that's fine. If you want Lanyap to be the only ones to do it, whatever. It kind of blows my mind from a news standpoint that, you know, this kind of thing isn't something that everybody else wants to jump on. I was told by the person who tipped me off to it in the first place said that they had attempted to get other media outlets interested in this story, and nobody wanted to do it. And, you know, they basically came across some of the stuff I'd written about the University of Alabama and said, well, you guys seem like you'll write about things other people won't write about. And I said, yeah, sure, we will. And, I'm just kind of, it's just dumbfounding. I mean, there's that. I mean, I've written 22 stories on things going on at the University of Alabama that I think are very interesting and should be interesting to taxpayers and people in the state. And those things have not been picked up on by any other media. And then there's also just the stories I've written about the head of the Alabama Ethics Commission, who's self-dealing he's getting his kids' tuition paid from a charitable trust that he's on the board of. And I'll have another story about that coming out very shortly. But there's another thing that hasn't been picked up by anybody. And I just kind of am amazed, because I think these are issues that, and certainly if the head of a state agency is convicted of 17 violations, that's just news. I don't know why that wouldn't be something that the big newspapers in the state would ignore.
Well, all I can figure is one of two things. First off, I find this to be the case with a lot of these kinds of stories in this state. They're hard. They require a lot of work, or at least a lot of understanding that a lot of these reporters don't have or don't have the attention span for. That's why there's a reluctance to cover these types of stories. But on the other side of that, number two, it's just it doesn't further anybody's agenda, right? There's no narrative that this fits conveniently in to promote a political ideology. So maybe that has something to do with it too, right or left. I'm not saying that.
I don't know. I don't know really what ignoring this does for anybody. I don't know what ignoring this.
I just think we got a bunch of
bar director being nailed by the Ethics Commission. I don't really see what the agenda is there. It strikes me as just sheer laziness and just dereliction of duty to not report it if you know about it. You know,
I think it's laziness. I think a lot of it. But I also think that people just aren't. These guys that work at AL.com and anywhere else, you know, the advertiser, if it doesn't fit some kind of narrative, they got other things to work on. But then it's also this. It's just a hard story. I just think there's a lack of institutional knowledge.
Well, I mean, I do see what you're saying. Like a lot of times, some of the bigger outlets that, you know, the what they want to spend their time on is usually stuff that has it fits into a political correctness agenda in some regard. It has some race element to it a lot of times, but this isn't even a hard story to do. There's the Examiner's report is there. The report from the Ethics Commission is there. It takes 2 minutes to Google them. I mean, it really isn't that hard to do. These are things that anybody could find. I mean, nobody wants to talk. So, all the documents are online. They're easy enough to find. I don't want to say I'm frustrated, because it is what it is. You know, in terms of, I mean, as a journalist, you like to get things and do them first. And, you know, if you're the only one doing them, then that's fine. But I guess just as a citizen of the state and a journalist, I'm confused why people in other newsrooms would look at something like the head of a state agency being nailed with 17 ethics violations and not write a story about it. I can't imagine that the Press Register or the Birmingham News or the Huntsville Times of old would have ignored a story like that.
No, and I'm sitting here, I mean, because you made us aware of it, I'm looking at the Examiner of Public Accounts, a function of the legislature, not a right. executive branch function, and the report's right here, and it's very detailed, and it's not written yeah. in a difficult legalese by any means. It's perfectly yeah. understandable. So, I agree with you. I wonder if people just get deterred. It's, you know, we already kind of acknowledged the politics, but to them, this doesn't really fit the agenda, or it doesn't seem to be groundbreaking.
I guess, but then, you know, I got one of the AL.com stars that writes to me and says, man, that's a great story. I was trying to get that story, but I couldn't get it. You know, and I thought, well, okay. So is it just because somebody else breaks it? It's not worth writing about anymore? I don't know.
That could right. very well be. It's like, ew, and yep, right? Icky. There's a weird sort of culture in Alabama.
Well, that was always too, right now. Case of the case. You know, when we first started, that was always the case with the press register as well. But even so, it strikes me as bizarre that it's just sort of this thing of ignoring something like this. But, you know, the other parts of it that really, when you look at it, you say, okay, the Attorney General's office declined to do any sort of investigation of this. And when in declining to do any investigation of it, they appear to, you know, they may have well missed, you know, a retirement spiking scheme. You know, there's, you know, I don't, again, you know, I mean, I, you know, Steve Marshall's off most of the time, busy signing on to whatever, you know, whatever right wing thing is going on, whatever Republican, you know, big Republican national agenda thing is going on. But it doesn't really seem to be very interested most of the time in actual crime going on in Alabama. And that's, you know, I think that's a function of the Attorney General's office as well. And, you know, this kind of thing to me, it looks like everybody knows everybody. And, you know, well, this guy got in trouble, but we all know him. So let's just figure out a way to slap him on the wrist and get him out of there. And it just, you know, I find it somewhat unbelievable. The Attorney General's office isn't going to look at see 17 ethics violations and say, man, there might be some weird stuff going on over there we need to look at.
Hey, Rob, we got to wrap. That's the music coming on. Thanks for coming on. Real quick, folks want to find out more, sign up for your newsletter, subscribe, whatever. Tell them how.
Well, you can go to lanyapmobile.com and get signed up to be a subscriber. That will also get you my Sunday newsletter. But you know, more importantly, it will keep you from missing all of our breaking news and web-only content. So you know, it helps us keep rocking and rolling, too, and digging up things like this.
Rob, we appreciate it. Let's talk again soon, man.
All right, Jeff. Have a great day.
You do the same. Rob Hulbert of Lanyap. Y'all check that story out. It's really remarkable. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.